Welcome to the Future of Supply Chain podcast, where we explore strategies and insights to supply chain, operations, and inventory planning. Join us as we talk to the brightest minds in the supply chain, planning, and operations space to bring you industry-leading knowledge. We'll uncover what's working in the retail space and explore solutions to common inventory challenges. And most importantly, we'll cover what the future of supply chain holds, a future that is in our very own hands. I'm your host, Divya Bade from Fuse Inventory, a female-founded inventory planning software powering the future of commerce. In this episode, we're talking with Anne-Sophie Elbi, who is the CEO of Ravacan and an analytics and supplier collaboration platform. Prior to starting her company, Anne-Sophie managed over $1 billion in total spending for market leaders such as Rolls-Royce and Fitbit, to name a few. She's a supply chain expert turned software engineer when she realized there has to be a better way for brands to manage sourcing and purchasing. In our conversation, we talk about how brands can secure their suppliers, control their costs, and negotiate better. Listen to learn how she and her company help over 200 companies build the most competitive supply chains out there. I'd love to just begin a little bit with learning more about yourself, if you wouldn't mind sharing, as well as specifically how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, so I'm Anne-Sophie, and I'm the CEO of Ravacan. And actually, I spent 13 years in supply chain. I was a buyer, a cost reduction manager, global supply chain manager for a variety of industries such as CPG, aeronautics, automotive, and consumer electronics. And I had the chance to actually manage over $1 billion in spending for those companies. And I created my own spreadsheets to prepare my negotiations. And at some point, you know, when you're managing such big spending, you find limitations. And so this is why I decided to create a software company that will help, you know, buyers like me to optimize their work. And actually, I went back to school. I learned programming to be able to create the first prototype. And in 5 months, we managed to find our first customer. And the results were so good that, yeah, the product was launched.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. And you know what? That's funny. It's actually a very similar story to Fuse. You know, Rachel was in a similar position, working in planning and supply chain, doing everything in spreadsheets, went back and she went and studied software engineering, and that's kind of, you know, how Fuse was born. It's a similar story to Ravacan.
Yeah, it's striking that, you know, when you are in those heavy duty industries, still a lot is done with, you know, manual operations, with spreadsheets, with individual emails. So, and actually you could optimize so many things like quality, logistics, procurement, so many areas. There is a lot to do. So it's very exciting to see more and more startups in that field.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to dive in a little bit, both from the aspect of brands that are in a place where, you know, they might be small enough, or their tools might be in a place where they are in a similar position where they are still using spreadsheets. I think there's a point at which a person recognizes that it's not enough, and that they need to put a better system in place. So I'm curious to hear from you, just based off of, you know, your experiences, what is that point at which it makes sense for a brand to kind of do away with those manual methods and really make that right investment into software?
To be honest, as soon as possible, because it's not when you're growing so much, you know, that you are going to be in the best position to implement a new tool. So I would say, like, when you bring on your first supply chain manager or a procurement manager, and they are in a position where they know they are going to grow and they will need to hire more people. So for me, it's the best time, because then you put your processes in place, you have your tool, and people coming into the team have some perspective of what happened in the past, you know, and so they don't just go and chase some old emails and contact suppliers one by one. And so this is when you know you're growing and you need more resources, that it's the right time.
Sure. So invest early and invest often and avoid the headache that will come down the line.
Yeah.
So I want to dive a little bit more into Ravacan. So if I am, you know, making the decision to move over into software, what are some of the benefits specifically that I'm going to find in my workflow and kind of the results that I'll see in my work?
So Ravacan is particularly well suited for brands that are not placing orders directly to their suppliers, but still they are negotiating directly with suppliers to design the products and to agree on commercial terms. So this is what we call a directed buy. And the brand is going to ask a third party, so a contract manufacturer, to build, assemble the product on their behalf. And so you have this organization where the brand talks directly with the suppliers, and then they need to share as well what has been agreed with the suppliers with the CM. So it's a lot of back and forth, because then the CM is reaching out to the suppliers. So what Ravacan does is really to create a platform for real-time collaboration. So the brands are asking for price updates, MOQs, lead time, capacities from their suppliers. They review actually the changes from one quarter to the other. They can see the impact of changes on their bottom line, and maybe we can talk about it later about the CBOM, potentially the costed BOM. And when they approve those new prices, the CM has the overview over what's happening. So they don't need to send individual emails to the suppliers. They don't need to merge data into a big spreadsheet to be able to share the information with the CM. Everybody's looking at the same version of the truth, let's say.
Sure. Yeah. And especially, I can imagine that's important now more than ever, as turnarounds and timing is even more so important given everything that's going on. And you know, the amount that these suppliers are being inundated is very easy to get lost and get kind of put down in terms of priority. So, you know, to really have a system to streamline that communication and really put yourself ahead of those that are also competing with those suppliers' attention can definitely be a great thing.
Absolutely. Our goal really is to make our clients' supply chain more efficient and more competitive. Mm-hmm. And so we see that, you know, having a platform to collaborate is immediately saving 25 to 35% of the time. Like in productivity increase of 25-35% per buyer. And so this is huge. And right now, with some, you know, disruptions and supply chain instabilities, it's difficult to be able to react quickly. So, for example, you have a supplier coming up with an increase in price, right? And we see that prices are increasing times 2, 3, 4, 10, 50 sometimes. Sure. And so a lot of spot buys are made, and the buyer has to be able to take the decision very quickly. But if you have only email and Excel in particular, what's going to happen is that you need to crunch data into your spreadsheet to understand, okay, what will be the impact of this new price. Then you need to get approval from the management because it's eroding your product margin. And then when you approve this price, you go back to the supplier, and most of the time the inventory is already gone, right? Sure. And so you need to be much faster and be able to exchange this information very quickly with the CM. And obviously, you know, asynchronous work with email is making that everything is lagging and sure. You're not as fast as you could. Yeah.
Sure. And I can imagine too, so being more efficient with a single person's time is obviously beneficial for its own reasons, but also a lot of what's being said out there right now is the needs of these growing businesses and the inability for them to be able to hire to fill those needs. So I can imagine, you know, as you are able to improve your productivity, that also to some degree lessens your need to be able to fill additional labor on your team and really face that time that goes into that, but also the challenge of doing that in the current state of things.
Absolutely. This is clearly what we have seen with our clients. I take the example of Molecule. They are a California-based consumer electronics company. They do high-tech air purifiers. And they went global. Like they were, their product was very successful, and they started their internationalization, selling all over the world. And obviously, in each country, you have, you know, specific characteristics about voltage and plugs. So it created a lot of complexity and different product lines. And so they had to cope with, you know, the growth and hire people, but actually they could avoid hiring anybody for 2 years. Despite growing dramatically. And concretely, what we've seen is that supply managers could take on a portfolio twice as big, meaning that they doubled the number of part numbers that each buyer would manage.
That's pretty impressive. Specifically that they were able to go 2 years without being able to really have that need in hiring.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something earlier that I haven't heard before, so I'm curious what it means. And I think you were going to go into an example of it, which is a C-bump. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's costed bump. So it means that the engineers are developing, for example, if we talk about brands and packaging and consumer goods, they have PLM software, so product lifecycle management software, where they can list all the part numbers and the sub-assemblies that go into their product. And they go through a lot of iterations, right? And buyers have to keep up with those iterations and the design changes. And they have actually what we call the flat BOM in Revacan. So they import the indented BOM from the PLM software or from an Excel spreadsheet, and recreate a flat BOM that consolidates all the quantities per part number. And with the costed BOM is a view of all the items and how much they cost, and as well how the allocation to different suppliers would impact the weighted average cost for each item. And overall, what you are able to see is how much the product cost, what is the proportion of purchase parts, what is the value added, and this is what you need to agree on commercial terms with your CM.
You mentioned a little bit earlier as well, I think there was you said there was a huge benefit that you were seeing for your clients. Can you tell us a little bit of that story?
Yeah, so what we cover is the quality price update in particular. So that means that the GSM needs to request regularly price updates and from their suppliers. And so they go through a cycle that usually take 5-10 weeks if done with Excel and email. And what Revacan does is that because you have everything in one place, you just need to click on the button to request price updates from your suppliers. So you don't need to send individual emails. And this acceleration of the information is shrinking your budgeting cycle or the quality price updates to 2 weeks. So it's very fast. So this is one key benefit. Then as well, we do consolidation. So we do a light version of a MRP where we actually create a demand forecast for every part number and every supplier, depending on the allocation that you set. So it's very easy for suppliers to see the long-term forecast, something that is quite hard to do in Excel, especially when you have a lot of part numbers and a lot of product lines. And we've seen that thanks to this consolidation, our customers are able to negotiate better because obviously they are showing a more attractive picture to their suppliers. And so we've seen that our clients are saving several million dollars, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
Just using this feature. Yeah.
Yeah. What using the software, what or just in general, I'm curious to hear if you have any tips for buyers and when it comes to negotiating. Is there anything, given your 13 years of experience, words of wisdom that you could share with somebody in that position?
Yeah, I think it's crucial to be able to know your data, right? When you are negotiating, you know, in the past, it was very easy to just go with the cheapest supplier, right? But times are changing. They have been changing for a while. And you need to be able to build relationships and to capture innovation from your suppliers. But in the core, I believe that what you really need is to be able to understand your data and what direction the data is taking you. And when you're negotiating, this is my own perspective, but it works very well. It's that you need to ask for cost breakdowns from your suppliers, and you need to understand, okay, what's the proportion of raw material, of value added, transport margin, etc. And you need to work on design to cost or design to manufacture with your suppliers when you can, obviously. And that is how you are working productive, like you're working with your supplier to make sure that you are both creating the best product at the lower cost possible. So it's really know your data, know how to leverage the capabilities of your suppliers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's excellent advice. Curious about the capturing innovation. By that, do you mean, you know, new technologies, or how do you mean by capturing innovation?
Yeah, with manufacturers, they spend, you know, 65-70% of their revenue with suppliers. So the true, you know, innovation is actually outside the company. Usually the brand is very good in marketing, in creating something attractive, but on the manufacturing side, you will have the best innovations regarding plastic injection or packaging coming from the supplier itself, because the brand is not necessarily the expert in that matter, right? Let's say if we take Apple, for example, Apple creates iPhones with a very, very well resistant screen, right? But it's because of Corning, their supplier making the glass that is resistant. It's Gorilla Glass, right? This is an innovation coming from Corning, not from Apple themselves. Apple is very strong on the software side, but most of the innovations are coming from the suppliers. And so to be able to capture innovation, you need to have good relationships with your suppliers. And I'm not talking about just being nice to the supplier, but to prove that they are heard, and when they come up with an innovation, that the procurement department has enough weight internally to be able to convince the engineers and the other departments to take this innovation and to approve it as soon as possible. We see, you know, I heard suppliers saying, I'm not offering my innovations to company A because I know they are going to take 1 year to make up their mind, right? And so this is why as well, you know, as a buyer in your organization, you need to be able to know your data so you have enough legitimacy internally as well to defend, you know, some projects and regarding innovation, especially.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I would think on the surface that if you are a larger company, you have more leverage with these suppliers, but really, the reality is that these larger companies, they have so much more layers within their organization. So to be able to take an innovation from their supplier and to really implement it is going to be a long process. So it's actually more beneficial if you're a smaller company to be able to leverage this innovation and almost a competitive advantage that these smaller brands actually have.
Exactly. And you see that in several industries, you know, you see it in consumer electronics, but as well in cosmetics, when you see so many indie brands coming up with very cool packaging. And it's not only the brand, it's as well the innovation from the suppliers. And they come to smaller brands with those innovations because they will know that, you know, it's going to go fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So build strong relationships, capture that innovation, bring it internally to your company and turn it around and as quickly as possible. Have the processes internally to be able to turn those things around as fast as possible. Understand data and ask for those detailed cost breakdowns is really the gist of it. Wonderful. So I want to switch gears a little bit and really kind of look at where we are today with supply chain. I know there's a lot going on. There's billions of dollars being gained and lost depending on who you're asking. And so I'm just curious to hear from you a little bit about the trends that you're seeing out there in supply chain and any advice that you can give us.
Yeah, so trends are not necessarily going in the right direction, right? Because we have a lot of inflation, We have disruptions. And what I wish for actually is to see more relocation and as soon as possible. It's easier to say that than to do it, obviously. I mean, relocation means a lot of work. But this is what I heard and what I wish as well for the US market is to be able to bring back some capacities here in the US. For that, I mean, there are some resources, but on Ravacan, for example, we are working right now on a directory that is going to help buyers find resources on the US market for new manufacturers.
That's pretty huge. Yeah. That's a tool that I can imagine everybody can use right now as we look to, reshore and, you know, improve our lead times and improve our turnarounds. And hopefully, you know, we can get in a place. I know costs are going up and up, but hopefully, you know, we can get in a place where, you know, we have the tools and resources so that, you know, long term, we can really create kind of a cost system that's really manageable for us.
Yeah.
And I want to ask a little bit because I've heard a lot about the shortage on semiconductors, and so I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that. I know I think I was reading somewhere. I'll have to come back and get the actual number, but it was in the tune of billions and billions, probably hundreds of billions, that this was having an impact globally. Yeah. So, do you have any thoughts on what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a common saying that your supply chain is as weak as your weakest link.
Yeah.
It's exactly it. Like if you are missing one critical component, then you can't build your full product, right? And we see it in automotive where they are stopping production lines because they are missing some components.
Yeah.
What's very interesting about semiconductors is that you have a mix of different contributors to the shortage. You have raw materials, but you have as well strategic decisions that have been made by, you know, big organizations that are actually consolidating the market around some key manufacturers that are creating an oligopolistic situation. So then you have less alternatives, and then you have like obviously COVID and the other elements. So there is no quick solution to navigate, unfortunately, this market right now, just to hang tight and ride the wave, I would say. But this is where as well, you know, good collaborations between engineering departments and buyers can actually use the supply chain to redesign a little bit the products so they are easier to manufacture and you can actually go around some shortages. But obviously, it's really about being able to do spot buys and to edge actually your situation by building more inventory. And this is why it's very difficult for smaller businesses because they don't have as much leverage than the bigger players, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah. So it's almost like, you know, the not having the leverage as much of the biggest players in this regard in terms of investing in inventory kind of offsets the leverage that smaller brands do have when it comes to capturing that supplier's innovation. So it's a kind of a pull, push and a pull type of situation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Something that we like to say is that the future of supply chain, so that, you know, looking ahead and where it's going to go is really in our hands, you know, as brands, as supply chain leaders. Is that something that you would agree with? And if so, what do you think that the future of supply chain and sourcing really looks like?
Yeah, I think studies are showing that buyers are really pushing for collaboration with suppliers, and suppliers are on board with this, right? So we feel like businesses are in together and they are supporting themselves, and they are doing it with all tools right now. So for me, really, the future of supply chain is more collaboration, accelerating the flow of information. And this is why SaaS solutions like ours have a crucial role to play, because we make the information flow very quickly, and we make sure that as soon as there is a disruption, for example, a supplier, like let's say tier three supplier, is closing their factory because of COVID, then, you know, this information is flowing down the supply chain right away in a matter of seconds, right? Instead of just waiting for the email to resurface 2 weeks later.
So collaboration is really kind of the key going forward, and having the tools and resources in place. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to time, right? It's just how we can be most efficient with our time and really invest wisely in our suppliers, in our products, both in terms of quantity and competitive differentiators from what's out there. I'm curious if you have any advice for anybody who is starting out in their sourcing career, or for any brands that are really wanting to set themselves up, set their sourcing team up for success.
My advice is really know your data. So be inquisitive. If you're not technical, it's not a problem. You know, you learn so much from just visiting your suppliers and hanging out with engineers. So you don't necessarily need to be technical if you're in manufacturing and you're in a position of sourcing technical components. But obviously, you need to know your data. You need to understand how it's made and how to drive costs down. And know your market as well. Understand if, you know, you're in a competitive market, oligopolistic market, where are the best players in what region, and be able to work and develop suppliers if you are in an oligopolistic market. If you are in competitive market, it's easier, obviously, but it's really about, you know, capturing innovation, creating relationships, and create your own legitimacy within your organization. Because buyers in general, they are a little bit complaining that nobody is listening to them, because, you know, you have the engineers already pushing for a type of solution or a supplier, and then you have the buyers reactive to that. So the best way to be heard and to show the direct contribution to the business is really, you know, to know your data. And we know it's not easy with Excel. So we invite anybody feeling in that situation to check out Ravacan and to be able to, you know, see direct contribution to the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to know more about where we can learn more about Ravacan as well as yourself. Before we get into that, I wanted to close out with a lightning round, if you will, that we like to do, ask some more questions about yourself, and you can tell us where we can learn more about you. I guess let's start with the recommendations. I mean, are there any either books or resources that you that have been helpful to you, or that you would recommend to our audience?
Yes, I would gladly encourage anybody to just to follow our company Ravacan on LinkedIn and connect with me as well on LinkedIn. I'm publishing frequently content about sourcing and procurement in general. I want to be able as well to share my knowledge. You know, I have worked for many different companies and in different situations as a buyer, operational buyer, plan buyer, working for different industries in oligopolistic and competitive markets. So I've seen a lot of things. And I worked on cost reduction projects in the automotive, which was really a great time. So if you want to learn more about procurement and strategic sourcing, please feel free to reach out. Yeah, it will be a pleasure to connect.
What's the best way? Is there an email, website? What's the best way to connect with you?
Yeah, so our website is ravacan.com, ravacan.com. And my email is Sophie, Sophie, at ravacan.com. So feel free to shoot me an email.
Wonderful. Before we wrap up, Anne Sophie, I wanted to ask you a question. If you can share any of the best business advice that you have received.
One business advice that I received early in my career is to know yourself, you know, especially when you're overloaded and that, you know, you need to ask for help. The sources that my manager at the time at Reckitt was Frédéric Blanc, and he was overloading me with projects, like so many cool things, and I could not say no. And at the end of the day, I had trouble, you know, being on time delivering my projects and my analysis. And he told me, I was just waiting for you to push back. And so to all the buyers that are just overwhelmed with work right now, I would say learn to push back and ask your management to bring you a software that it would make your life easier.
That is impeccable and important advice, and that is a wonderful way to wrap up this very educational podcast. I thank you so much for all your advice. We're going to wrap this up in a post as well, so people can reference all the points that we went over, as well as reference Ravikan. And you also have a podcast as well. I don't know if you want to share any bit about that, but it is in sourcing. So feel free to kind of share more about that and where our listeners can go to listen to that.
Yeah, we have a blog on our website, and we publish regularly a podcast. I interview global commodity managers because I'm a little bit a nerd in that sense, a manufacturing nerd. And so I love hearing about, you know, how different people manage their commodities, and how is it like to buy metal? How is it like to buy cosmetics packaging and things like that? So, if you are inquisitive, you can check us out on the blog.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Fuse Inventory, an inventory planning solution for the digital age. Fuse centralizes inventory sales and procurement data to generate a predictive forecast and inventory replenishment plan to help brands scale their supply chain. If you'd like to learn more, please visit fuseinventory.com or follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Plan less and do more with Fuse Inventory.